All right, Acts 2, verse 41. We've read this every week. Let's read it again today. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common as every man had need. I'm sorry, I skipped over something. There we go. And had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we pray that you'd help us as we once again study the Bible this morning. I pray that you'd help it to speak to us individually. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So that passage each week sets the tone for the theme, what we've been discussing. Take it personally. We've talked about evangelizing and getting the gospel out and witnessing. And now we're talking about discipleship, but the practical parts of discipleship, how just by being a part of a healthy local church, how we can help others be discipled. I was commenting to someone recently. We went to camp, and at camp we were just we got to fellowship with other pastors and Christian workers from all over our region, and it's encouraging to do that. And we were just talking about the state of things and in each of our churches, and it's just exciting to see God blessing different churches in different ways as they follow the Lord. And I was able to tell a friend of mine, probably a couple of friends of mine, just what a blessing it has been, I would say, particularly the last 2 years, to be a part of our church in particular. And part of the reason for that, I said, is, you know, coming to church, we don't necessarily have the biggest crowds that we've ever had at Mount Greylock Baptist Church. There was a day when we had 115, 120. We had a high day on Easter of 185, I think it was, about 10 years ago on an Easter. We packed this place out. So I believe that those days are ahead of us, where we're going to see an increase in us reaching people, and I look forward to that. But what I mentioned was to a few friends in ministry was that what a blessing the spirit of our church has been, I would say, for 2 straight years. I mean, just, and that's not the case in every church. But to come to church, to be with people that want to be there, that have a heart and a desire to, not perfect people, none of us are perfect, you know, maybe you are, but not me for sure. But just to be in a place where the people of God are maybe not perfect, but have a good spirit, lift their voices and sing, care about one another, and people don't have their agenda or this or that. And that is, lest we get complacent, realize that that is not, unfortunately, that's not actually common in churches across our country today. It's not a common thing at all. There are a lot of churches that have, and I have friends that they're in churches where there's problems and there's conflicts and there's bad attitudes and things. And so I say that to let you know that it's a blessing. And it's and I appreciate that, and you should appreciate that too, and always seek to protect that, protect your own heart, protect your own attitude, and seek to be a blessing to others, because through that you can see discipleship happen. You can through that focus, you can see a difference made in people's lives. So don't take that for granted, and pray that the Lord would protect that, and that we would grow. But the Lord would do the growing, the Lord would do the adding, and that we'd be faithful stewards along the way. And all of that comes through, and that's why I'll do a series like this, and we'll keep that in front of us. Talk about the importance of taking discipleship personally. So, we've talked about, who remembers some of the importance ofs that we've discussed? We've talked about the importance of what? Last week we had a few of them nailed, so what have we talked about? The importance of, anybody remember? Huh? Friendship, that was one of them. We talked about the importance of friendship. We talked about the importance of attending, that was last week, the importance of attending. So friendship, attending, somebody else. Hospitality, so that's three. There's one more, and it was the very first one, the importance of compassion. Absolutely, the importance of compassion. So let's just take a minute here, and if you can help me out this morning, get started. Just a couple of thoughts. You help me, give me a little feedback. I'm going to go back through these things that we've talked about, and maybe something stood out to you that, or whether it just stood out to you, something that you grabbed a hold of, or something that you've been challenged by as we've talked about each of these things. So think about it for a minute here. Compassion, hospitality, friendship, and assembling. I know sometimes these kinds of discussions are a little awkward to get going because it's early on a Sunday morning. But I do the review to help us remember where we've come from, where we're going. The point of doing a series like this is so that we all internalize it and it becomes a part of our regular routine as a church. So, compassion, hospitality, friendship, assembling. How about compassion? Somebody, how has that helped you, or what stood out to you about that? Something that in particular. Anybody? So we talked about compassion several weeks ago. Anything? Anybody at all? I know it's going back in time, but remember I expected a little bit of this, but we've got to come somewhere through this series. So we talked about compassion. What might have stood out to you? Anything at all? Huh? Did I hear somebody? Love? Just genuine love for people. Just to look at people and care about them. Anybody else? Something that remember we talked about all the different types of people to have compassion on. All right, maybe we'll come back to that one. How about when we talked about hospitality? Something stood out to you, or the big takeaway that you had from that, hospitality. Yeah. I like that. Very good. Awesome. Those are the kinds of things, you know, just like, it's not necessarily something earth-shattering, like, my life changed forever when you gave that message on friendship. That was it. That's not what I'm looking for, but yeah, exactly. Just, you don't have to impress, just open your home. Hospitality, something else, anybody else that maybe stood out to them in that one? Okay, how about friendship? How about when we talked about friendship? Anybody? Okay. Yeah, sure. Right. Right. Or I also thought about how somebody was telling me recently about habits, right? What was that? Having the same conversation.
Having the same conversations,
like
kind of change that
role. There you go. Amen. Do you mind if I share the story about the men's conference that we talked about yesterday? So this is a good one along those lines. As we think about reaching people and being including people, that Travis was telling me he's pumped about the men's conference this year. Okay, got a new shotgun and everything for it, which is right on. All right. Now. But it was funny because last year we were going to men's conference, and Travis and Sarah had just really started attending the church. And so Travis shared with me yesterday that his thoughts were like, I don't know if I really want to go to the men's conference. And I didn't get that impression at all last year. But he said that it was, you know, we just started coming to the church. And at that point, that was before Travis had given his life to the Lord and accepted the Lord. And so he thought, you know, I'm going with all these guys that they are believers, they go to church, they're part of the whole thing. What am I doing going with these guys? And I think it's, and by him sharing that with me, you know, I never would have got that impression. Right? So it just, I appreciated him saying that because it helps us all be aware of that people what goes on inside people, you know, you never know, right? And so it's important to, when it does not take long for a believer, for a Christian, to just get used to the whole process. We go to church, we do this. But to put yourselves in the shoes of somebody coming from the outside and someone who doesn't know, then, you know, it helps us think a little bit more carefully about how to involve people and how to reach out to people. And I thought that was a great, kind of a thought-provoking story that he shared with me about that. And this year, now, you're one of the other group, so to speak, right? On the opposite side of it. And so, but I guess my whole point is, it doesn't take long. Once you, the blessing of a healthy church family is once you accept Christ and become a part of a local church, then all of a sudden, quickly, you get involved and you're a part of it. But it's a big hurdle for people, and I don't think we always realize that it's a big hurdle that people here in this part of the country, they have very limited understanding of what it even means to be a Bible-believing Christian. They don't have a whole bunch of friends that are Christians or family that are Christians. And when a person becomes a believer, or the Lord is working on their heart, and there's so many cultural and social pressures actually against it. And so that's why things like, when you think about discipleship, sometimes, as far as a church reaching people, sometimes the way that we reach out to people relationally has a huge impact, as much as any sermon or lesson that they may hear. And it's so important. So compassion and hospitality and friendship. How about then, when we talked last week about assembling, just the anything that stood out to you, or the big takeaway from the lesson on assembling. Anybody? Yes. Yeah, and that's the whole point. We looked at Hebrews 10, where we are to attend so much more, and it says that you might provoke one another to love and to good work. So just our presence is encouraging to others. Anything else that stood out to somebody? All right, very good. So we got the importance of compassion, the importance of hospitality, the importance of friendship, the importance of assembling. All right, good. We'll do this again maybe next week, and have maybe jot a couple things down before you come in, or think about a few things. Come ready to share a little bit. Obviously, you don't have to, but you'd help me out. All right, so today, the importance of serving. The importance of serving. Compassion, hospitality, friendship, assembling. Number 5 today, the importance of serving. Now, obviously, the church here that we read about in Acts was a church that served one another. If you would now go with me we'll look at a couple of passages. Go with me to Philippians chapter number 1, serving. Philippians chapter 1. Verse number 27. This is Paul writing to the church in Philippi. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation. Somebody help me out. Conversation means what? Behavior. Yeah, your behavior, your lifestyle. So we don't use it as often that way. So let your behavior be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. Now, look at this. That ye stand fast in one spirit. This is the part I want us to look at specifically. That ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind. What's the next two words? Striving together. Yeah. For the faith of the gospel. As you think about that, stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. As we think about a church that serves and discipleship through serving, you think about that verse, striving together, one mind, he says. One spirit, rather, one mind, striving together. What are some things that that verse, you think about those words in there, and what is service going to mean for us in that verse? To get you started, first of all, it's going to mean that we have to serve in what kind of a way? Together. We've got to be unified. But what else do we learn about serving in here? Well, I mean, obviously we've got to be unified in our attitudes toward one another, but we've also got to be unified in our purpose. So our purpose would be what as we serve? The verse tells us. What would the purpose be of our serving? It's serving, it's not serving so that we can, you know, make a... Yeah, exactly. There you go. It's not serving in the case of simply to build a sense of community or to do good in our area where we live. It's specifically we serve so that what can happen? So that the gospel can be advanced. What else do we learn about serving? So we've got to do it together, but we've also got to do it for the purpose of getting the gospel out. That's the focus of everything that we do, is reaching. That's a few weeks ago in Pastor's message, we talked about the downtown celebration and how I had mentioned we're giving out candy, we're giving out all this, and I had forgotten to say we're giving out the gospel. But that's the point, why we do what we do. So what else, though, do we see here? It's got to be together, it's got to be for the gospel, but what else? Some of these words kind of... Yeah? That's the idea of unity. But how about the word striving? What is that? What is that? You going to be... Huh?
Well, it's an athletic term, actually, in the Bible. It's like an athlete giving their all, an athletic term.
Yeah. It's like we're coming into football season, you know, and you see those... Did I say football? Right, we pushed the right button there. So, okay, so we're coming up to, and whether you think that Brady is the greatest of all time or not, you know, the point is this, you take that Super Bowl, all right? I watched that Super Bowl, and we had some folks over who left before it was over. And,
in this, all I can say is that I hope they don't play the Giants in the Super Bowl.
So, striving. You think about, I always think about the line, the offensive and defensive lines right there against each other. And when that ball is snapped, nobody has a laid back attitude, right? Because what's going to happen? You're going to get steamrolled. You're going to get smashed. I mean, there is no more intensity, I don't think, than NFL linemen just stacked up against each other. That is probably the most intense sporting situation of all, as they just crash into each other. So, but when we think about service in the church and striving, whether it's a football game or whether it's a runner, just, and that would probably be more the context here, just giving their all to make it to the finish line, do you think most Christians have a striving attitude when it comes to ministry and serving in the local church? Probably not. Why not? What is ministry, what does service sometimes look like instead of striving? What would it look like in people's lives instead, if striving is the goal for our service and involvement one with another, what may it look like instead? Okay, you got a fishing illustration there. All right, I'll take that. What does it look like? How about, I'll get it started here along with Brother Jim. How about people's attitude is, I will serve if it fits in my schedule. Okay, that's pretty common, right? I will serve the Lord if it fits in my schedule. That's one attitude, but what would somebody who strives say? Somebody who's going to strive together for the gospel, rather than saying that, what would they say instead? Okay. Exactly. They would say, I would serve. Instead of saying, I will serve if it fits my schedule, they will say, I will schedule so that I can, so that I can serve. So what else might do people do instead of striving in service and ministry? They may say, well, people will say, I'll put in, one of the big things is for service to take place, we need service when the church assembles, but often that involves service that nobody sees, service beforehand, service in preparation, to put the preparation in before the service actually takes place. I'll serve if it... So what are some things that keep people from striving? Or did somebody else have something to say? Yeah, Deborah. Okay. Yeah, I will serve if it comes naturally or if it's something that I want to do, not necessarily what needs to be done. That's a good one right there. Service. I will serve if. Okay. So what are some things then? I already mentioned schedule. What are some things that keep people from serving in a striving attitude? In a more, if it works out. What are some things? We already saw schedule and time. What else might keep people? Awesome. That's a great one. So let me give a word for that. Limitations. Limitations. Well, I don't feel like I can serve because I'm limited this way or that way. But somebody who has a heart that says, I want to serve, I want to strive. The person that doesn't want to strive, they say, well, I have these limitations. And because I have these limitations, I guess I can't do it. But a striver says what? You got it. Exactly. That's exactly right. If you didn't hear what she said, it was, show me how. Teach me how. What can I do? How can I learn? How can I improve? How can I... That's awesome. Sure. Yeah, because you may not be the best at it, but willing to get out there and get it going. Somebody else. Something else. What else keeps people? So limitations will keep people from serving. What else keeps people from striving and serving? Foul weather. You've got all the illustrations today. Fishing, foul. What is foul weather? Like an actual rainstorm?
Yeah. Rainy or snowstorm. Something about going out knocking doors if you're on that side.
Well, that's one. Okay. If knocking doors is the type of service, yeah. Okay. So how about this one then? How about we've got limitations, we had schedule, how about excuses? All right, excuses. Say, well, it's, this is a great one. We should have talked about this in the attending. Oh, the weather's too bad to go to church. Oh, the weather's too nice to go to church, right? How about excuses? Well, I would serve, but I've got that, but I've got to do this. Remember the ones in the Bible who had the excuses for... Oh, that's right. That's the one. He says, I can't go out. There's a lion in the street. That's in Proverbs. But how about the ones that Jesus talked about, right? That said, well, I would serve you, but I have to wait till my father dies. I got to bury my father. Oh, I would serve you, but I just got married, so I can't. And what was the other one? I bought a piece of land. I've got this deal. Once my economic situation is just worked out, Once I got the job that I want and the finances are all laid up, then I'll have more time to serve the Lord.
I gotta go check out what he bought.
What he bought. Yeah, I know, right? Had to prove him. Had to prove him. I think in those cases that there's all kinds of applications for us, though, because in each of those cases, the one says, he's got his family obligations kept him from serving. The other people, it was their business obligations that kept them from serving, all kinds of things. But the apostle here in Philippians 1 says, hey, strive together, indicating put it all on the line, step out, put it all on the line because there's a service that has to be accomplished. Why? Because we want a nice, big, full church? Well, no, that shouldn't be our motivation. Why? Because there's a battle for souls. That there's an eternity. There's heaven and there's hell, and God has called each and every one of us to be involved in the service of the gospel. So, I'll move on from this point, but I'd like you just to ask yourself this question. Just ask a simple question, and that is this. Is my service characterized as striving? Would someone look at my life and say, there's someone who serves the Lord in a way that is, I mean, they are striving. They've put their all into it. And they it's like, man, look at that. And obviously, I'm not saying we do it for other people's recognition. I'm just saying, would someone else characterize your service as striving? It's amazing. I met somebody this week. I was in a nice town down in Connecticut as part of my work. I had to go to someone's home to pick up something. And in this town, I looked around, and it's a beautiful, beautiful town in Connecticut, and lovely flowers all over the place. Similar to like what you see in Williamstown, how they have the community gardens and things like that. I saw all of those, and I went to this elderly man's home to pick up something, and he was telling me that his wife, she was responsible for all of those beautiful flowers all over that town. And that was a big undertaking. And I realized, when you think about it, same with you see the flowers in a lot of the nice towns around like Williamstown, how do those get there? Well, volunteers put them there in those community gardens. Those are done by volunteers. And they put time, sweat, energy in to planting flowers and making their town look nice. People put time in to their clubs and to their associations and to all kinds of different things. And I thought, we as Christians, we've got something to put our time into. Those flowers are going to die. They're going to wither out. They're going to go. And I'm not diminishing that. I think it's a wonderful thing to do. And if you could be involved in that, I'd be all for it. But at the same time, we have the opportunity to invest our service into eternal matters, into souls, into a difference. How would your service be described? Would it be as someone who's striving to get the gospel out? Or have you become a little lax, maybe? Think about that. All right, let's give you just a couple things really quick, and then we'll be done. That was all the introduction, but we had some good feedback. So let me just give us a couple things to think about. Well, who serves in the church? How are needs met and a difference made? How is the ministry of the gospel go forward? Well, first of all, number one, in the church, leaders are called to serve. Go quickly to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Chapter 5. In this church was a group of leaders. And in fact, you tell me, who are the, biblically speaking, who are the leaders of the church? In Bible-based churches, who are the leaders of the church? Somebody help me. This is not a trick question. It's like, who? Deacons and pastors. There's two offices in the church, deacons and pastors. Now, do local churches have more leadership than that? Well, yeah, of course they do. But there are two biblical positions of leadership. And then those leaders delegate leadership to other people and set people to rule over different types of ministry. Now, the problem is, in some churches, people look at positions of leadership as an opportunity for what? In the negative. As an opportunity for what? To lord over people, glory, pride, prestige. Well, I'm in charge of this, or I'm in charge of that. But look what it says here in 1 Peter 5:1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now, this is what those elders, those pastors, are called to do. Feed the flock of God. which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. So that's the leadership. But now look how he describes the leadership. Not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, not for money and greed, but of a ready mind. Now verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Look at verse 5 now. This extends, though, to others. So he gives clear instruction for the quote-unquote official leadership. But now he extends it and says, likewise, in the same way, younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be what? Subject one to another, and be clothed with what? Humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So the point here is that leaders are called to serve in the church. They're called to be in charge and to rule, but ultimately that leadership should be described as this kind of a buzzword that goes around, and that is servant leadership. How many of you have heard that before, right? Servant leadership. And any position of authority, be it in a church or be it in a be it as you know, a pastor of a church or a deacon, or whether it be as leader of a Sunday school or another ministry, and we have stewards in our church, anyone that has any type of leadership should view their leadership as an opportunity to what? The word we're talking about, serve. An opportunity to serve. How can I serve you? That's what we should look for. How can I serve you? I've said this many times, but this always has stuck with me. If you want to know if you have the heart of a servant, see your reaction when someone treats you like a servant. I thought that is just great. In the Bible, the word servant literally means what? It means slave. It's a slave. So the point isn't that slavery is good, but we are called slaves of Christ, the servants of Christ. A slave never is like, well, I don't like the way that you talk to me, right? Or you need to show me more respect. The slave just does what? Serves. They just serve. So how do you react? How do I react when someone treats us like a servant? Who do you think you are? Now, that doesn't mean we should be trampled over and let people abuse us. I'm not saying that. But the point is, do we get all riled up, or do we say, well, you know what? No, it's not fair the way I've been treated. It's not right. I should get this. And that's true. I understand that. But you know what? Ultimately, I'm just a servant of the Lord, and he'll take care of me. He'll watch over me. That's being a servant. So our leaders serve. So let's move on, because I took all the time in the introduction. So number two, but then if the leaders are called to serve, the church family is called to serve. The church family is called to serve. So take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12. So the leaders are called to serve. The church family is called to serve. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says, for the body is not one. I'm sorry, lost my place. There we go. For the body is not one member, but what? But many. Now go down to verse number 18. But now hath God set the members, who? Now? Every one of them in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And he goes on, and he talks about that. Skip down to verse number 24. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members, the members should have the same care, read those last words, one for another. And verse 26, whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. The church family serves. Now, who do we serve? Well, we serve one another, we serve the world, but ultimately we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why I don't have to get offended, because my service to Cal could be unrewarded, right? I could do something nice for Cal and serve him as a brother in Christ, but then he could treat me badly. But by serving Cal, I wasn't really serving Cal. Who was I serving? The Lord. And am I going to not receive reward from the Lord? No, of course not. I will receive reward from the Lord. So I don't have to worry about the reciprocation I get from Cal. I don't have to worry about that. Now, it won't feel good if he's rude to me, so don't do that, okay? It won't feel good, and I'm not saying it should, but if I remember that we serve the Lord Christ, as the scriptures say, then that keeps me focused. So then the question is, how do we serve? Well, quickly now, go to, let's see which one I want to go to. Well, go to Ephesians 4. I'm skipping over some things, but go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse number 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave what? Gifts unto men. Now look at verse 11. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Go down to verse number 16. Speaking of Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which, what's it say? Every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of who? Every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. God's plan for service is every part serving the whole body. So every person, literally every person who's a part of the local church should have a place of service. So we're going to have part two of this next week. And what we're going to do, and we've talked about this, my dad and I have talked about this for a while, and we just need to make it happen. We're going to do that this week. Next week will be part two. We're going to talk about the fact that God has gifted every person uniquely for service. Okay, there are spiritual gifts. And you've heard that before, but it's a good lesson to talk about on a regular basis. And next week, there are places of service for every person in the church. And as we come into a new season of ministry, put summer behind us, come into the fall, we're going to put together a ministry menu, so to speak. And just opportunities for every person to look at and say, you know what? I could get plugged in there. I can get plugged in here. Some will be more involved than others. But it's to say, you know what? I serve. But, I mean, don't raise your hand, but how many of you would say, you know what? I want to serve. I want to be, I mean, I said not to raise your hand, okay? I want to serve. I want to be part. I want to be involved. Or I would do more if I could, if I knew what it was. And we're going to put that together. And next week we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. And that'll be something that we start in a Sunday school class, but other people have an opportunity to be involved in these things too. And so many people, what's also cool about this is you'll be able to see that, oh, I didn't even know. I didn't even ever think that task needed to be done. And there's somebody already doing that. I wasn't even aware of it. And I think you'll be encouraged to know that. And we're not going to say, well, this person does that. And that's not the whole point. The point is this, to say, hey, we've already got people serving in this way. We've got people serving here. But we need more volunteers to do this. And we need more volunteers to do that. And so part of that discipleship is service and being involved and being a part of it. So I'm looking forward to that. I hope you are too. And I hope you'll be praying and thinking about, Lord, help me. Maybe you're maxed out. Maybe you're serving more than you can and you are striving for the gospel. That is awesome. Keep it up. Keep up the good work. But maybe you'd say, you know what? I'm ready to take a little bit more of a step. I'm ready to get a little more involved in this area. And so if that's your goal and that's your heart spiritually, we don't want to stand in the way. We want to make it happen and make it possible. and see the Lord work. So I'm excited about that for next week. I hope you are too. Come ready. We're going to start together next week. So bring the coins with your kiddos, and we'll have a great service next Sunday, 9:30. We'll start Sunday school combined together. All right, let's break to prepare for the worship service. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask that you'd bless what's been said, and bless the service to follow. Help us to really lift up your name this morning, to worship you in spirit and truth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, we are dismissed.